Are you ready for the weekend yet? We have events, news, and a guest for you to enjoy this Lake Life weekend. Hello and welcome to this week's episode of Lake Life Weekend Podcast. I'm Dirk, I'm your host. This is weekend 38 already of 2017. Something's happening, leaves changing, it's beautiful out. Please stay tuned for our special guest. It's Seth Hartmeyer about his web project and photo project in Minnesota. A story that we found here and we connected on Instagram, in fact, because he really shoots beautiful pictures and writes little articles on a regular basis. So hear all about his story after the news and events. Some news: Maplewood State Park has record amount of visits this year, and there are nearly 150,000 visits already, and they haven't even reached high volume guests come through the season of the changing leaves this fall. So it's great news, one of our not even hidden gems, pretty prominent gems, and I hope you had opportunity to visit it this year. Camping, horse riding, and horse camping has seen an increase this year, and then the maple syrup demonstration early in April is also another contributing factor to the increase in visits. And now they just opened last week the maple syrup station, also something. So great news. Another not so good news: zebra mussels now in 10 Mile Lake in Ottawa County. The Minnesota DNR has confirmed that zebra mussels are no win to 10 Mile Lake in Ottawa County. A resort staff of 10 Mile Lake contacted the DNR after they spotted zebra mussels on a pontoon that was leaving the lake. So as we all know, drain your pontoon or boats and clean, and we hope not to spread invasive species any further. Not too many events this upcoming weekend. Live music and everything on our website, lakelifeweekend.com. We have September 19, 1 p.m. through 4 p.m. old time variety dance at the White Pine Room on Lake Street in Frazee. We have Yoga Flow with Wendy Billy on September 21st in the New York Mills Cultural Center on Main Avenue, 6 p.m. through 7 p.m. September 21st. And then we have a Septoberfest September 23rd at the Washington Square Mall in downtown Detroit Lakes. The original Oktoberfest is actually in full swing since last week. And we celebrate the Oktoberfest into the first weekend of into October. So yes, now is the season, Oktoberfest. And come to Detroit Lakes with your costumes and you win best prize for male German dress or female German dress or best couples. Another event we found here: Blue Brew and Barbecue, September 24th, 5 p.m. through 8 p.m. in Perm at the Brew Ales and Eats in downtown Main Street. Barbecue buffet, music, meat raffle, and silent auction to support the Perham Health Foundation. Proceeds will be used to construct a safe room in the emergency room department. All and more on our website, lakelifeweekend.com. Thank you for tuning in, and now please enjoy our interview with Seth, and you have a great weekend ahead. Thank you. Hello, I'm here with Seth Hartmeyer from Frazee, and we will speak about his photo and website project, Highway Highlights. Welcome, Seth.
Thank you, Dirk. It's great to be here.
Thank you for coming.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
And I'm glad I actually found his artwork and his project through Instagram. I think we followed each other with our photos, and I'm intrigued by art, photography, and then I saw your beautiful captures of historic homes and then also signs. But before we talk about like art and your project itself, tell us a little bit about you, Seth. Where are you from?
So basically, I grew up in Moorhead. My mom was from Frazee, and I spent all my summers kind of growing up around Weimer Lake outside of Frazee. And I always have loved the area, and I have a lot of family here and a lot of friends, and you know, just I've always really enjoyed being here. And so eventually I decided to make the area my home, and here I am.
And you went away, you were in the cities for a little while?
Right, after college I went to school up at UND in Grand Forks, and after that I lived in Minneapolis for about 5 years, and really enjoyed my time there, but I was kind of ready to get out of the city life and back up to the area. So I took a job here in Perham, and then that was about 5-6 years ago, and then did a couple different jobs, and now I'm kind of here full-time working in Detroit Lakes and living on Weimer Lake.
Yeah, and your passion is photography.
Yeah, I love just exploring and taking pictures and documenting things wherever we go, and any chance to get out and explore, I take it. I mean, every weekend or any chance I get to go anywhere, always trying to get out on the road and explore.
Road tripping. I love road trips myself.
Absolutely. Yeah.
And so what I found was beautiful pictures, and people know maybe I used to be an art dealer, and I just love art. So what is your project, and how did you come, when did you start, and how did you get to it?
Yeah, I would say about a little over 10 years ago, I kind of came across a book that was basically about Minnesota roadside attractions and, you know, quirky places and offbeat things in Minnesota. And I was just thumbing through the book, and I just realized of how many things there were in there that I had no idea about in Minnesota. And, you know, I knew about the obvious stuff like the world's largest turkey and Frazee and the loon and Virgus and, you know, the statues and Paul Bunyan and things. But there were so many things in the book that I had never heard about, and they completely intrigued me. I was completely just captivated at that point, and I went and got a copy of the book for myself and started plotting out on a map where these things were and what was near me and where I could get to, and it went from there basically. And I started off checking off the different things in the book, and it just really went from there.
So you literally started to explore Minnesota.
Absolutely. That's exactly. So, what I did. Yeah,
yeah. So I have not heard about that. You you mentioned that earlier in our pre-discussion, and I want to see a copy as well. So it's a touristic book.
Correct. Yeah, it's just called Weird Minnesota, or yeah, I think it's something along those lines. There's a few different ones, but the main one, it's just about offbeat Minnesota attractions and festivals and different places, and you know, there's some haunted places and abandoned things and all kinds of just weird stuff.
And where was your first trip to?
You know, I suppose a lot of the first stuff was just around here. I mean, you know, okay, I should go get the requisite picture of the turkey, and then to the loon in Virgus. And, you know, I guess a lot of the stuff was in the area. And about that time, I was living in Minneapolis, so anything between Minneapolis and Frazee, too, because I made the trip back and forth so many times.
Sure.
So through St. Cloud and Sauk Rapids and Sauk Center, rather, and just kind of all up in between there, I started to find all this stuff, Alexandria, Fergus Falls, you know, any chance I could get, you know, I would detour off the highway a little bit and check out something, maybe grab a picture, occasionally talk to somebody, and I just kind of started building the collection of pictures.
Yeah. And you mentioned also to me earlier, you have like thousands of images.
Yeah, I suppose at this point I do. I kind of amassed a collection, I bet, of maybe 30, 40 pictures of just roadside attractions, and some of them in Minneapolis, a lot of them up in this area, kind of all over, and then wherever I end up too. So if I was, you know, happen to be in an area, Wisconsin or North Dakota or wherever, find out what's there, grab pictures. And it started off with just, I collect pictures on my computer, and I made a Facebook album just called Roadside Oddities and Attractions. And I suppose that was maybe, 8 years ago, something like that. And instantly got all kinds of great feedback from my Facebook friends, I guess, that just said, this is really cool. You know, they'd comment, oh, I love this one, or I've been to this one, or I remember sitting by that one as a kid, or, you know, have you ever been to this one? And it really, really grew from there. I mean, that was the sort of the catalyst for how the whole thing started.
Tell us about the whole thing. So you bought a domain called highwayhighlights.com?
I did, yeah. After about, I'd say, 3-4 years of just mostly collecting the pictures and sharing them on Facebook, that was really all I had at that point. And everybody had been encouraging me to write a book, start a website, do something with it. And I couldn't really figure out what the right medium was. I didn't really want to start a book yet because I knew I had so much to do still. So I thought the website was probably the next, probably more appropriate medium to share it with, I guess, a greater audience, not just my Facebook friends. And a good friend of mine who does a little with websites and I were brainstorming one night some different names, and, you know, he kind of helped me get off the ground. We came up with the name, and he just stepped aside, and I took it from there, and I started building the website, just different entries, you know, tried to do about once a week of, you know, little couple pictures and a little story about this and a little story about this place. And I just went from there, and I, you know, kind of took it and ran with it.
Yeah. So you bought the domain, you had no clue how to program a website, and then you use a WordPress template or something?
Correct, yeah.
Kind of like a blog?
Yeah, exactly. And that's really the long and short of it. I'm not a great website graphic design guy. It was a WordPress site. They make it pretty easy for you, and I'd love to spend more time on it and tweak it and really, really make it cool. I just, you know, I don't always have the time to do it and everything else I have going on, but... yeah, and I just started doing entries and uploading photos and just kind of, you know, then I made a Facebook page for Highway Highlights and then a Twitter page and then Instagram. And I think really the Instagram page is where I really found a lot of success because you can really hit a huge audience and you can share pictures instantly and you don't have to have a lot of typing with it. And it just, and people can just see it, like it, click it, follow it, you know, and you know, from there it's really taken off. I've done really well on there, just engaging people and definitely finding new leads and new places. And I'm always looking for new things. I mean, it never stops. I mean, every chance I get, I'm kind of researching, or for I know I'm going to be going somewhere, I'll see what's in the area and kind of go from
there.
Do
you know how many entries in your blog you have? Like hundreds?
Yeah, I would say it's got to be in the hundreds at this point. I mean, for a while there, I was really firing them off because I had so much to write about. And as we kind of went along with the website, I realized that I was really limiting myself to just roadside attractions, and I still love finding something quirky and fun, but I think really when I met my wife too, she was kind of into that stuff too, and she really liked old buildings and historic churches and you know, all kinds of things like that, and that really kind of piqued my interest too, and it got me into that stuff more too, not just, you know, the obvious roadside attraction in a town, but what else is here? Is there any cool old historic places or old signs or, you know, stuff like that? And it really took on a life of its own after that.
So I actually got to you through the image, but you now mentioned several times that you also write text. So tell me about that. What do you write? Is it little short stories?
Yeah, it's basically, you know, when I would take a picture of something, world's largest, this or that, I would try to get a little bit of history on it. You know, this is why it's here. Maybe this is when it was put up or built or created. This is maybe who built it, why it's here, and that's that. So that's kind of started out, you know, why is there a Paul Bunyan statue? What's the history? What's the folklore behind that? Or whatever the case was. And so I started doing that and writing just little, you know, little, maybe a paragraph, maybe a couple sentences of just what it was, where it was at. And then over the years, I really started having fun with the website and creating, you know, things like lists, like my top 10 favorite, you know, courthouses in Minnesota, or the top 10 coolest buildings in this town, or once I did an article on top 10 coolest towns in Minnesota, just all the ones I'd been to that just were really, really special. And that one really took on a life of its own. I mean, that really made the social media rounds. Ended up being on WCCO in Minneapolis. CBS down there came up and did a feature on me for their Finding Minnesota.
Oh, really?
They do a little Sunday night feature, yep. And yeah, then I was starting to get calls from a lot of newspapers and different people interviewing me, and I got a lot of press with that. And looking back, I would have tweaked the article a little bit because you just learn so much as you go and talk to people and get to see different places. But yeah, so now I it's a full on almost. I don't like to use the word blog because I think sometimes when you hear a blog, you just think of somebody writing about how their day went, or
this
is what I think about this. I mean, it's more of an interactive website that encourages people to explore, and here's how to get here, and here's what this place is like, and here's something to do in the area. And I try to link different things if you're in the area, not just this, but there's also this, check out this, you can stay here. And the list, you know, top 10 this, top 50 this, I think really connects with people because it's very linear, it's easier to read, it's finite, it's just a nicely laid out, you know, I mean, that's what drives the internet, is people reading lists. You'll never believe what the, you know, those website BuzzFeed and things like that. And I've really enjoyed doing that, and I just take a ton of time to research and find out when was something built and where is this at and why is this here and, you know, what's left of this. And, you know, I try to get as much information as possible, and I'll try to add a little humor to it, or, you know, my own personal take on it sometimes too.
It sounds fascinating. I have to dig into that a little bit more. I guess I have hundreds of stories to read.
Yeah, right. And there really is. And I've talked to people that, you know, Hey, I stumbled upon your website and I've spent a couple hours looking through it and I never knew about half this stuff. And that's, you know, kind of people ask me why I do it. And it's kind of that reason to share it and to encourage people to get out and see things. I mean, so many people don't know about all the hidden gems in their own backyards half the time. And even living in Minneapolis, how many people down there didn't know about half these things? And they're right there hiding in plain sight. And that's everywhere, not just there. But I really love when people explore and then we have something to talk about. And what did you take from it? Or what did you think about it? Or, yeah, that was really cool. I loved your story on it. I had to go see it myself. And we took our son here and just or whatever. And just kind of connecting with people that, you know, it tugs at people's kind of nostalgic heartstrings, so to speak, when they see something that they can relate to or they went to, or, oh, I'd forgotten about this, or, you know, they have some special connection with it.
I agree. I'm new to the area and not like you growing up here, and I found Phelps Mill coincidentally. I love road trips.
Yeah.
And I have an 8-year-old son, and we go to Phelps Mill, I think, every other month,
mm-hmm.
just again and again and again.
Right.
And it's always open in the summer, mm-hmm. and it's rarely been visited. It's like
right.
my favorite hidden gem.
It's a great example of one. And
I speak to people and they don't know what's Phelps Mill.
Exactly.
And I'm
they
just like,
no
so
idea.
You've got to be kidding me.
Yep.
Like it's super cute.
Yep.
And I actually had Chris Schulke here from the Historical Society in Ottawa County.
Right.
And he spoke about Phelps Mill
mm-hmm.
In our podcast. And yeah, it's fascinating how little people know.
Exactly. That's a great example of one. And there are those, I mean, they're everywhere. They literally are. And you can go to any county, any area, and I guarantee you there'll be something historic and something fun. And, you know, even down by Battle Lake, there's a bluff called Inspiration Peak. And it's just a roadside kind of a park, and there's about a 10-minute hike up to the top of a bluff. And it's just this incredible view of the surrounding farmlands and lakes and things like that. And I just nobody knows about it. And there's rarely anybody there. You can go in the fall when it's peak leaf season, there'll hardly be anybody there. And it's well maintained. It's a really cool place too. And, you know, I write about that. I tell where it is, how to get there, if it costs anything, you know, just make it really easy for people to get out and see these hidden gems. And I mean, there are just so many of them. And it's almost like a scavenger hunt, you know, like
yeah.
how many are there? Where are they? How do we get to them?
Yeah.
I want to see them all. I want to collect every one of them and say I've been to every one. I can't shut it off. I'm just always, when are we going to get to this one? And I probably drive my wife and kids crazy sometimes because I make a lot of stops and U-turns and, you know, we got to hit the brakes and just pull into a parking lot, grab the camera, get out of the car. But I mean, it's my passion. It's probably my, you know, it's my greatest interest right now.
I love it, and I want to publish it more on our website too, or link it, or I don't know. We got to figure that out. But that's exactly what I'm trying to do too, like find the hidden gems and identify them, communicate them. So what's your favorite few? Like, do you have like a regional or local top three at least or something?
Yeah, I mean, it all depends kind of what I'm in the mood for, what I kind of am feeling lately. It's just, you know, earlier, yeah, I would love to stop at a cool waterfall or a hike or this or that. And then some days I really love old houses. I mean, I've been in the last 2-3 years just exploring and taking pictures of historic homes is a huge hobby, and it's a huge interest. It's there are so many, and there's, you know, Minneapolis, St. Paul, and you see these blocks and blocks of Victorian homes that date back to the late 1800s,
mm.
and they're just, every one of them is unique, and they're all in these different styles. Some are Victorian, some are Italian, and some are Art Deco, and they're just, all of them have a story. And I'm big into houses, so I would say, you know, if I had the top three things, I'd love to, you know, Summit Avenue in St. Paul is a lot of fun.
Yeah, been there.
Yeah, and Minneapolis has its own little Summit Avenue. I think it's like Park Avenue, and same deal, just these old brick homes. And so I love that kind of stuff. And to say it,
like something like you just mentioned the bluff.
Mm-hmm. The bluff is super cool. And it's just, I love like Itasca State Park.
Yeah.
I was there twice in the last 2 weeks, you know, the headwaters of Mississippi and the obvious things, but there's so many other little hidden gems within the state park system. There's old architecture that dates from like the Great Depression era, you know, where they were putting people to work building these really unique rustic style buildings with field stone and timber. And, you know, I just love capturing the detail and the effort and the work that went into building these things. They weren't just thrown together overnight. It took years to build brick homes and stone houses and you know, there are castles in Minnesota. There's all kinds of just different neat stuff like that.
Where's a castle?
I mean, down by Red Wing, there's one. I think it's called Frontenac Villa. It's nobody knows about it. Nobody. And I think the place currently right now is sitting vacant. But it's on the river bluffs on, I guess it would be Lake Pepin, Red Wing, just southeast of Minneapolis, maybe 45 minutes. And it was like a convent or something for a while and a retreat center. I think it had maybe a Catholic sort of background to it. Big castle, big turrets, and the parapets on the battlement type wall. And it's just, nobody knows about it. Absolutely nobody. I mean, you look online, you'll see some pictures of it and stuff. But there's just stuff like that, these historic relics that are just, they're just abandoned, and it's sad, and you just hope. Another really good example is the Kirkbride Hospital in Fergus Falls.
Yeah.
Now it's the regional treatment center, and I think now that its future is largely uncertain, but that's another one. I mean, you go to this place, it's a massive building. It's like a third of a mile all the way around.
I've been there.
Yeah, you know the place, and nobody knows what to do with them half the time. They're so expensive to maintain keep up to code. So that's another really fun one, Fergus
that's
Falls.
That's what happens in Europe, too. Like, we have hundreds of castles.
Of course.
And they're all rotten because they can't afford to maintain
them. Right, and those date back, I would imagine, 500 years plus.
Yeah, 300-500 years.
Right.
I mean, mostly ruins then.
Of course. But yeah, and like I said, Fergus Falls, there's an old broken down dam outside of town in Fergus Falls. And it's a dam that they built in, I suppose it was maybe the 50s or 60s, big concrete dam, and it was to generate electricity and things. And they had built it over a spring unknowingly, and the spring eventually washed the base of this dam out.
Mm.
And it's a really, really fascinating place. It's just this big, giant dam broken into all these pieces, and they just left it. And now there's a little park there, but you would just have no idea it's there, and there'll never be another person there when you go there. It just sits quiet and overgrown, and it's just an incredible place. And if people like that's on my website, if you're in Fergus Falls, check out the Kirkbride. There's an otter statue, there's some cool restaurants, there's a brewery, and there's a broken down dam. Get out and check it out. It's a great day trip to Fergus Falls. There's a ton of stuff to do. There's good restaurants. You know, if you want to have a beer, you go to the brewery and you know, a couple little shops downtown.
Yeah.
Yeah, Union, right. Yeah. And the river walk's fun. And then check this dam out, because it's like nobody will be there. You'll have it all to yourself. And it's fascinating. The water just swirls through these big, like, Roman ruins. They're just big concrete pieces of a dam sitting in the river. And it's designated as a county park. But
Let's go.
Yeah, absolutely, man. I'm going a heartbeat. I absolutely love it. It's so photogenic.
Yeah.
And you just, every angle of it, you can walk to the bottom. You can go right on the top of it. And just these big pieces of this dam that it just, I guess back in the day it was maybe a party spot, you know, maybe 20, 30 years ago, you know, but now it's just sitting out there in the middle of nowhere and nobody goes there, nobody knows about it, and it's so much fun.
I have to check that out.
Gotta check it out.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's another.
What else
fun
in the, your infectious, what else in the local area?
God, where to start? I mean, yeah, Fergus Falls, a lot of cool stuff down there. I mean, I can't.
Close to Park Rapids.
Yeah, Park Rapids, and like I said, Itasca is a really cool, you know, I mean, there's so much to explore there. You go past there, and you can get up towards Bemidji, and you can get over to Walker, Grand Rapids, I mean, and then keep going from there. You got the whole Iron Range.
I have never been there.
And that is, I mean, I have this conversation, I write about it. The Iron Range of northern Minnesota is one of the biggest hidden gems in the whole Midwest. And Duluth, I mean, I could go on about Duluth for, you've been to Duluth before?
Been there once, but not with open eyes.
Right. And
I mean, not enough.
Duluth is, I mean, this is the hidden gem of the Midwest, no doubt. I mean, I could sit and talk about Duluth, but even the Iron Range, there's these old open pit mines there, and there's, you know, a lot of old history from when it was a mining area, and there's a...
I've heard a lot so far.
Oh, it's so much fun, and hiking, and a lot of these old mines are defunct now, and they have filled up with water, because eventually they mine down far enough, they'll hit a spring, or they'll hit someone, and they fill up with just crystal clear water, and they're just incredibly picturesque. And there's even a mine, and it's a state park now. It's called the Sudan Mine. And you can go, and it was an old working iron taconite mine, I guess it's called. And now they've made it into a tourist attraction where you go in the old mine shaft, elevator shaft, and it'll go down, like, it's almost a half mile underground, and there's old trolleys down there, and you can take this big tour. It's kind of like a cave tour, but it's an underground mine.
I think a friend just was there this summer and mentioned it to me.
Yeah, and it's a great thing everybody should do, but nobody knows about it. Nobody does these things, you know. People go on vacation, they go to Florida, they go to Maine, they go to tropical, and that's great. But there are so many just cool things in Minnesota, and it's just sad, you know, hearing people have no idea about it because this stuff is right here, and that's again what my website and everything is there for. It's a, you guys get out and go see this stuff. It's not that far, 2-3 hour drive each way. Make a day trip, make a weekend out of it if you do. Here's what other stuff. And yeah, like I said, the Iron Range and the Duluth area, and just in the southeast Minnesota down by Rochester, you have all the bluffs. It's a really special place too. A ton of cool stuff, a couple different cave tours down there, and just amazing hiking, amazing scenery, quirky little towns, a lot of fun. And you know, there's just so many different areas of Minnesota itself that just are largely untouched.
Yeah. You said you work on a publication, or your goal is to have a book sometime?
Yeah, absolutely. I get the question all the time about the book. When are you going to do a book? You have to do a book. From the get-go, people, you got to, and there are books already out there that have been doing this. And, you know, each of them kind of have their own spin and their own little kind of taste on different things. But the book idea to me, it's a book is so finite. And that's, I think, what is the, I don't want to say a drawback, but it's the biggest thing holding me back right now, is a book is finite.
What's finite?
It has a beginning and an end.
Oh.
You know, the website will always be updated. Sure. I'll always have new things to do. I have a big, huge list of places I want to go see. And if I wrote a book, I'm limited to what I've
seen.
Sure. You know, and then all of a sudden, after the book's out, great, okay, now I have a part two to write. And I mean, yeah, that's in that book, different series or volumes of a book. But I just love the idea of a website and social media in general, because you can constantly update, you can constantly engage.
Up to date. Once it's in print, it's old.
Yeah, once it's in print, it's there. And it's just, again, I say finite because I feel like, okay, then it's done. Now I got to start working on part two and then part three. Where the website, it's always there. You can scroll back through. You can, and I just update it, whatever I kind of find, you know. I'll go to a new place and start writing.
Do people approach you and want copies of the images? Do you sell some of your artwork, or?
No, not really. It's more or less just there. I mean, I've had people, can we use this on this Explore Minnesota Tourism, or, you know, something like that. I say, absolutely. Give photo credit where it's due. Mm-hmm. And I've got featured on some pretty big publications if they've used a picture from the site or whatever. And yeah, I don't know. I don't know really what to do with it for now. It's out there, and you know, if people are gonna use it, they're gonna use it. But give me photo credit if possible, because it just brings people back to the site and gets more people involved and engaged, and which is the goal. I mean, it's for everybody. And I don't have a charge you any fee to look at the website. I don't jam ads down anyone's throat when they go to it. It's just a nice, fun, easy to read format where you can just scroll through, kind of see what I'm doing lately, and you know, where I'm heading to next or whatever. And, you know, I try to engage with people that comment on it or reach out or email, and it's really fun. People email stories and, you know, reach out occasionally, and, you know, it's just a lot of fun.
What is the website domain again?
Okay, so it's highwayhighlights.com. Just like it sounds, and it'll bring you right to the page, and from there you can start scrolling, start digging. I have an interactive map on there where with little kind of bookmarks, I guess they're called, like on a Google map, where you can click on it, it'll bring you to the article, show you where it is, and you know, look at the map, see what's in the area. Okay, these are some things to do. I got some links on there and just some different little stories about, you know, what's, you know, where I've been, and just kind of, I wish I had more time to devote to it, you know, having a wife, kids, and a fixer-upper house and a full-time regular job, you know, it all takes a back seat. But I mean, if I had more time, I would devote so much more to it, and I have a lot of cool ideas I could do with it. But you know, again, life gets in the way sometimes, but I try to keep it updated, and I try to write about really fun, cool stuff that we come across.
I am so glad that I was able to connect and you speaking to us, and I hope that everybody will check out your website and the project and follow it. Instagram also is Highway Highlights.
Yeah, I'm sure if you look up, I think it's Instagram Highway_Highlights. I mean, it wouldn't be hard to find with a quick search on there. Yeah, and I thank you for having me. It's always fun talking about it with people. I don't really get the opportunity too much to sit and talk about it, because a lot of people up here are more interested in, you know, just the simpler things like hunting and fishing, and that's great. You know, I love it all, but it's fun to connect with people. you know, that are also kind of interested in exploring and history and architecture and arts and whatever else. So, yeah, it's been a lot of fun.
Yeah, thank you very much, really. And I hope maybe we meet again or we will
Absolutely.
Be able to link and share some of your images and future articles. And thanks again for coming. You have a good weekend.
Yeah, thank you. You too, Dirk.
Thank you. Yeah, this was already our newest episode of the Lake Life Weekend podcast. We sure hope you enjoyed it. Tune in again next week with another great guest and updates. Always check out our website, lakelifeweekend.com. And if you have some comments, please feel free to email us at hello@lakelifeweekend.com. And you have a wonderful weekend ahead.